parables. There are many Old Testament parables, just as you find parables in the New Testament. And this one tells what sin is like. 2 Samuel 12. And the Lord said unto Nathan, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, that is Nathan the prophet, to David the king. They were great friends. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor, and the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. In other words, a pet. And there came a traveler. Don't miss that phrase. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Notice his reaction. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. He's now sitting his own punishment. Because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Oh my. There came a traveler, and thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would have more of given unto thee such and such things. So if you need it more, I will give it to you. But look at this now. Three times over this comes. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Verse 10. Because thou hast despised me. Verse 14. Because by this deed thou hast given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. What a story this is. What an Old Testament story told by a great prophet, by the way, a bold and courageous man, to go into a king who was a friend and to tell him what God said to tell him. Sin is seldom preached in our day. Sin is not high on the agenda of what people are interested in today. It's a needed message, and folks need to know what sin really is. In this passage, he tells something of what sin really is. Preachers used to name sin and not preach around it, but to preach it. Now, I'm a little afraid in approaching our subject this morning. There was a young preacher who began to bear down upon sin, and a lady came to him in the congregation, and she meant it for well. She was trying to assure him and to confirm what he was preaching. Well, this is the way she put it. She said, Pastor, we didn't know what sin was till you came. You see, as you approach sin and you come to this scripture, it's a parable told to a king. Think of this. And it's told by one of God's great prophets. And what a brave preacher he was. What difficulty to carry such a message as this. Sin and what to do about it. is portrayed here. Now, I say right away, there's no fish hooks in the message, and there's just barbed wire strung through the message. And that's to confront you with what sin is about. A survey was taken recently, and this will show you where we are, taken recently in the churches, and many questions were asked. One of the questions is this: do you believe in sin? 69% said yes in the churches. 25% said no. 6% said I don't know. That means that 3 out of every 10 people in this country, in the churches, do not believe in sin. And so that shows you somewhere that we're going. Second question: do you believe there's an absolute guideline between right and wrong, or what is evil and what is good? 28% said yes. 69%, 2 out of 3, said it depends upon the circumstances. Situation ethics has got to the churches. Now, out of this context, we come to the subject of sin and this parable before us, so you can see what led to this message. Third question: do you know what was considered to be the worst sin that people could commit according to this survey? It was to break into a car and to drive away with it. That is the worst sin you could commit according to this survey. And that's people out of the churches. We're learning to tolerate sin around us. God have mercy upon us. On and on the questions go, and we'll not go into any more, but this gives you some idea. Not a one of the questions in the survey had to do with the Ten Commandments. Not one. The scriptures tell us it's the work of the Holy Ghost to convict people of sin, and he uses the instrument of the Word of God to do so. So we take this Old Testament parable and we want to look closely at it. Now, this keeps coming through in the life of David. This is a low point, high places and low places in his life. Twice in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, he's called a man after God's own heart. Didn't mean that he was perfect. It meant that he repented a whole lot. He had to keep repenting. And so this is one of those low places. And it went on for about a year. And he was out of the will of God, and he was dodging this sin. Here's a story of how he got his 8th wife, Bathsheba. Michelle was his first wife, daughter of Saul, and you remember how this came about, how that Saul made her as kind of a reward to give him, killing 200 Philistines. Abigail was a great woman, had a wicked husband, Nabal. And when Nabal died, Abigail became David's wife. The next 5 that are mentioned in Scripture are just names. And, of course, the Bible said he had many concubines. The last of these is the 8th one that we're confronted with this morning, Bathsheba. She was a young wife of one of his trusted soldiers, granddaughter of Ahithophel, most trusted counselor he had. And of course, you can understand Ahithophel when you read about him and how he turned against David when this took place. What keeps coming through, preacher? David was a ladies' man. This was his weakness. And He did not guard against this. Now, as far as you can find in the scripture, David was a great king. He was a great soldier, but he was a poor father. He is a poor father in his family. There are some lessons from this parable on what sin is. Now look at the parable here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. First thing is this, sin is to take what belongs to another. Now he took this poor man's land, didn't have but one, and he took it. He was not content with what he had. He wanted what belonged to somebody else. You know, I don't want what belongs to you. I rejoice that my friends are gaining ground. Don't you? Don't you rejoice in that? And David here wanted what belonged to another. What an application of sin here. As you check Ten Commandments, they all have to do with theft of some kind. Reaching out for that that belongs to another. Example I give this morning is Adam in the garden. God said to Adam, now you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but there's a tree in the midst of the garden, and that's mine, and you're not eat of that tree. Oh, what tree did he want? That very one. Isn't that right? And he violated the law of God when he did that. He knew that belonged to God. Sin is to take that which belongs to another. Second thing, sin is a lack of compassion. It says here that David was riled up because this man had no pity. He had no pity. Failure to identify with others. Not to look with sympathy upon others. Oh, may the Lord help us here. We need to look with sympathy upon others. If you walked in the shoes where others have walked, then you can sympathize with them. For instance, a great lesson that I learned as a preacher is this. When I was a young preacher, if you missed the service, boy, I tell you, I'd get on you now if you missed the service. And the more sickness I had in my home, and realized that you could get ready to come to church and couldn't make it. It'll help you identify with that. I hate to call off any service. But I have sympathy with those who are sick now. Because I've had so much of it in my home. And you will too, if you identify with it. Here, is sin identified as a lack of compassion? A lack of compassion. It has an effect upon God and others, and not to love our neighbor as ourselves. There's a song that you sing here in the church. They sing it down in Georgia. I noticed people need the Lord. They do, don't they? They do. Sometimes we can get to the place where we say, well, we're saved and our folks are saved, and therefore let the rest of them go. No, no, we have to never take that attitude. Never. People need the Lord. And this should break our hearts this morning, because many are blind and ignorant and they do not know the great truths that have come to your heart. Do you know it's by the grace of God that you are in, that God has brought you in? And think and have mercy upon others. have mercy upon them. And then I'm looking at verse 7 and 8 here. Sin is ingratitude for what we have. Ingratitude. God said, if you had needed more, I'd have given it to you. David, if you'd have needed more in abundance, I'd have given it to you. David, all the abundance he received, was not grateful. And he kept looking out and reaching out for more and more unthankfulness and ingratitude. One of the chief sins of churches and nation, this nation, has been ingratitude. And I remind everyone present this morning, we haven't always drove the cars that we drive, or the clothes we wear, or the home we live in. We've always had nice churches in this country. It's by the grace of God that we have anything. Let me ask you the question the Apostle Paul asked the Corinthian church. He said, what do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have? That's kind of rough on us, but that's so. I think God is telling us something here. I think God is telling us something. I believe revival will come if we get this straightened out in the churches. The essence of sin is an unthankful heart. What we need is a heavenly, holy silence before God. Wouldn't that be great this last Sunday in the old year, as we look towards the new year, just to pause and thank God for what He's already done if He never does anything else. He never does anything else. Sin of ingratitude for what we have. A fourth thing, sin is a lack of a sense of proportion. This man had one ewe lamb, this one little lamb they treated as a pet. And this man came and took it away from him in the parable. This man had abundance of flocks. He could have killed any one of those and served this traveler that came, as Nathan puts it. But he didn't do that. And it fails to benefit him because he didn't have a sense of proportion. He didn't have, it was the value of the moment without thinking about the whole of life. Many times that gets us into trouble too. And then sin is to despise God. Three times over this comes. It comes in verse 9. He says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? He said, David, you've despised God's word and God's servant who brought it to you. You despise that. Verse 10, because thou hast despised me. God said, David, in your heart you despised me. I told you what to do, but you despised me. Verse 14. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. He said the enemies of God all around will blaspheme the name of God because of it. It's a terrible thing to despise God and His word, to set ourselves up and say, well, we know more than God about it. No matter what God says, we know more than He does about it. we can better judge than he can. David was coming to that place. Then David was ungrateful, really, for this prophet who came and faced him with it. Faced him with the truth. Here was a man standing with his life in his hands. King, all the king had to do was snap his finger, and he was dead. Soldier would have run him through with a sword. He'd have been dead. But here is a brave man stands in the king's court and tells him what needs to be told. Now, you got a few of those in the Bible, haven't you? You got a few of those. Micaiah was one of them. Remember him? On one side, 400 prophets always says yes, yes, yes. Then there was Micaiah. He said no, no, no. And Jehoshaphat came up to join forces with Ahab, and 400 yes prophets said, yes, go ahead into the battle, it'll be fine, you'll win the battle and all of that. And Jehoshaphat had a sneaking notion that that was right. He said, is there a prophet of God around here? Well, there's one left, but he prophesied evil concerning his time. I don't like to hear it. And so they sent for him. Micaiah said, no. No. He said, that's what I've been telling you. If you go in this battle, you're going to die. What they do, they appreciate that. No, put him down in prison, bread and water. And they win the battle anyway. And some guy crossed the line somewhere. The battle wasn't even going on at that time. He just shot an arrow across the lines. And the arrow went across the lines and down into the chariot of the Ahab. Hit. And he died. Nathan was a brave man. He was a brave man to confront a king like this. There have been some brave ones. Jeremiah was another one, if you remember. False prophets were saying, why, everything's fine. They're not coming over here and get us. Why, we're doing fine. We're getting along fine. And old Jeremiah said, one of these days, Chaldeans are coming. God's told me Chaldeans are coming. They're going to take you away. They're going to come, put hooks in your nose, carry you off into captivity. They like that? No, they kept putting him in pits and different places, trying to get rid of him, but his message remained. Then, not only do we have here a lesson on what sin is, but we have a lesson on what we should not do with sin. First of all, don't cover it up by stepping up righteousness in other areas. That's what David did. Soon as this word came to his heart, what did he do? Why, he got real religious. And he said, this man's going to pay. He's got to pay. That's the first thing he tried to do. Well, this is the first thing in the story that took place. As you remember, as he took Uriah's wife, this is the first thing he did. First thing was to try to be nice to the husband. Tried to work out a vacation for him so he could go home and all of that. He tried to be real religious after he had sinned. And sin against Bathsheba took place, and when God's man came, he got on his judgment seat then. What great judge he was. That's the way sometimes we deal with sin. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Terrible thing. In other areas, we begin to condemn heavy, weighty barbed wire cuts the conscience as you think of this. Then a second thing, don't try to remove sin by committing another sin. This sin that he committed, adultery, and then it led to murder, and on sins came in the life of David. In between a good deal of lying, he was committing a lot of other sins. The worst thing we can imagine is to be found out. That's what David thought. So a year, he didn't take any steps to get back to God. He waited to be found out. Now, David was not somebody ignorant of the Bible. He knew what the Bible taught. He knew Old Testament principles. He had studied them as a king and as a boy. He knew all this, and so he begins to compound sin. Now let me tell you, young people and older ones alike, don't let the sins of yesterday catch up with the sins of today. Keep them under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's good advice. Third thing, don't get someone else to cover up sin for you. This woman's husband sent up to the front lines. Joab became the victim to do it. David, you know, he said, I know how to get it done. I'll get the captain of the army to do this dirty deed for me. Joab. And so Joab carried it out, for the king wanted to carry it out, and he put him right up into the battle lines that he was killed. God still held David responsible. And I can hear it now echoing in the heart of old Joab. By the way, from that day on, he was indebted to Joab. You mark it down, you read it, you see it. And old Joab, I can hear the echoes that he said, boy, my boss is pretty good strumming on his harp and writing songs. But when he wants a dirty deed done, he calls on me to do it for him. He never got that out. He comes to me when he wants a dirty deed done. Number four, don't delay in dealing with sin. Child's born, nearly a year went by, but there came a traveler, and there came these words, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. What a parable this is. Third thing, what we to do with sin. That's what not to do with sin. What we to do with sin. What is sin? What we should not do with sin, and what to do with sin. Number one, make friends with those who will level with us. Cultivate friendship of one person at least who will be honest with you. Here's Nathan. Boy, he's honest with David. He's honest with David. Hold your place there and go over to the book of James for a moment. Verses 5 and 6. James 1, 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What I want you to notice in verse 5, and upbraideth not. Upbraideth not. Isn't it great to have friends that you could go to and sit down and talk to? And they would, yeah, have you ever been in trouble and go to a friend and you sit down to him to pour out your heart, and then they look at you and they say, well, you're in a mess, and I'm going to help you now, but don't you ever get in this mess again. I'm glad God is somewhere again. Says he upbraideth not. Isn't it great to have friends? You just sit down and talk to them, and they seem to understand and to take you to their heart. Wouldn't it be something we went to God and he'd say, but I hear you come again. Now I will do something for you, but I got something to tell you now. No, he upbraideth not. Well, I'm glad that's in the Bible. And if you have to come 100 times a day, he upbraideth not. Well, I like that word. Sometimes I might have to come 100 times a day. I wish I was able to preach this. Make friends at least with one person who's honest with you. Number 2, admit it quickly. Don't begin to say, I didn't do it, and I did do it. Just confess it before God. Do it quickly. 3rd thing, accept its consequences. The old hymn of the Negro Brethren, not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. David didn't have to get mad, did he? In anger, here. Do you know what he did? He set the limits of his punishment. You watch what's said to him. Here's what it said in verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man in the parable. And he said to Nathan the prophet, as the Lord liveth, that man's done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold. That's what took place in his family. That's right. That's what took place in his family. Fourfold punishment. Because he's done this thing, and because he hath no pity. Admit, accept its consequences. A 4th thing, cast yourself upon the mercy of God. And I'm quick to say this, that we shouldn't leave David like this. Just remember Psalm 51's in the Bible. And it comes out of what happened here. And David goes before God and pours out his heart in Psalm 51. And he says, God, this has gone on long enough, almost a year, and I want to get straightened out. And he begins to pour out his soul in Psalm 51. And he's restored. He's restored. Doesn't matter what others say about David. David was restored. He's restored. Now the baby died that came of that union. The baby died. But I noticed this, that as long as the baby lived, even though God had said the baby shall die, that
child shall die, as long as the baby lives, David was on his face crying for the child's life. He didn't take a bath. He didn't put on perfume. He didn't dress up and put on the new garments. He was on his face pleading for the child's life. And when the child died, he didn't work the house of God. But when the child died and received word of it, there's whispers going on in his court. He knew that the child had died. What did he do? He got up, took a bath, washed himself, put on new garments, put on perfume, what they did in that day. And he went up to the house of God, praise the Lord, and worship. You know what happens in many cases? Folks quit God altogether. That's right. They quit. And they began to say, why me? Why?